Are you ready?
Are you?
Are you ready?
And many of us have been lucky enough to grow up in a healthy, happy home where we've been well cared for. But what happens when things change? What if someone in the family gets seriously ill? Could you provide care to a sick sibling? What about a sick parent? They spent all of your early life looking after you. So what might it be like when the roles are reversed and you, as the child, have to provide the care? And I'm putting these questions to senior high school students. Maybe one of them is going to be looking after you one day. And here is our panel.
My name is Rafi. I'm in year 11 and I'm at Elwood College.
My name's Ellen and I'm in year 11 at Melba College.
My name's Ayushi. I'm in year 12 at McRobertson Girls High School.
So great to meet you all. Thanks for helping us answer these questions. Let's try and imagine this at home first, okay? Let's say you have a sibling who falls seriously ill. What do you think your particular role would be in providing care? Can I start with you, Ayushi?
I think as a sibling, I would have two main roles. One would be to ensure that the parents are okay because, you know, their role will be providing for the sick sibling. And I think you need to be understanding that the parent's not going to be around you all the time. So don't get like very depressed if you don't get attention. Just try and understand the severity of the situation. And then the most important role, I think, as a sibling is to be there for your sibling. You have a different relationship with them than your parents. You're there to humanize it, the situation, whether that be, you know, joking with them or playing games, make it seem more real and less like scary, essentially.
So we've been talking about siblings, but what if a parent becomes sick? Because that's quite the role reversal in a house. So let me put that to you, Ayushi. What do you think your role would be if a parent actually became seriously ill?
I think supporting the other parent is really important. It might, like, obviously as a child, we can't possibly take all of their roles that the parent was providing.
No, that would be a big change, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but understanding is the key thing. You need to be able to understand your parents' perspective, support them as much as you can, and not, you know, ignore that.
Mm-hmm. Ellen, how about you?
I think my role would be if a parent got sick, as I usually said, to help support the other parent.
Yeah.
And also if younger siblings, help support them as well and get the whole family to like work cohesively to help fill in the role of the sick parent and maybe work a bit more outside of school and things like that.
Yeah, I see you're all taking like a real like teamwork approach to it. Like you're breaking down the jobs and the roles in the household, right? And saying how are we going to sort of lift this? What about you, Rafi? Did you have anything to add to the scenario of a parent that might need care in the home?
I think of that through the lens of me looking after my grandparents, which is something I sort of do informally at the moment. They're not super old, but just kind of helping them out with things, going shopping and stuff. So I think it's just the little things that you can just take on that don't create much of a fuss and you can just easily look after them, not in the way that you need to be like, you know, doing like gross stuff or like, I don't know, I don't want to get into specifics, but, you know, like just making sure you're there and, you know, you're just able to do the things that you wouldn't normally.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're sort of hinting at maybe sort of toileting tasks or whatever. I mean, that's a tough thing. Yeah. Well, let's face it. That's a tough thing for like a children or a grandchild to take on for a senior member of the family. But hey, in this series of Are You Ready? I'm calling an expert each time to get their advice. And so I want us now to hear from Tim.
Hi, I'm Associate Professor Tim Moore from the Australian Centre for Child Protection, former young carer worker and researcher, and I'm delighted to be talking about young caring today. So the first thing I want to say is that many people, young people, take on caring responsibility, so know that you're not alone. I think a lot of young people think that they're the only one because they don't see other young people taking on these responsibilities, but about 1 in 10 young Australians do take on some caring responsibilities, and it's okay. It's something that's really important and something that I think a lot of people are really proud of. So be aware that there are other people like you and realise that you're not alone.
So Tim says it's okay if you're a young carer. You can be proud of what you're doing. Why do you think he wants to make that point? Who wants to take that?
I'd say I think it can be seen as a weakness having parents that are sick and also you having to care you know, as a kid, you're meant to look all like free and youthful and like not be weighed down by looking after people. But I think it's something that you definitely can be proud of, that, you know, I'm juggling my homework, my part-time job, running the house and caring for my parents. But, you know, life's good.
Wow. When you put it like that. Ellen Ayushi, what do you think? Why do you think Tim feels the need to make that point?
I think because as kids, we're really scared to show our vulnerabilities. Yeah. And that's something that we learn over time. And so sharing with other people that, look, this is what's going on in my life. You know, I have to care for my parents. I have to care for my sibling. It's a lot. And putting yourself on the spot out there when you're trying to discover who you are and where you fit in the world is really scary.
So when I was looking at these panels for Are You Ready? Here on Life Matters on RN, I was figuring out who we would have to speak on each topic. And I noticed that the three of you all have interesting career aspirations that relate in one way or another to care. So, Ellen, I'll start with you. You're considering becoming a midwife, right? So when you look at that field, what qualities of a midwife do you think make for good care?
I think the qualities, they can like sympathize and empathize with their patients and support them through like the tough times of like pregnancy and childbirth and just
Which are stressful times, yeah.
Yeah. And also be able to balance the rest of their life around that as well.
So, Rafa, you told me you were interested in going into nursing.
Yep.
Maybe into palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about what we can do for people at end of life, what do you think makes for good care in those circumstances?
I think of palliative care as quite an emotional type of nursing where, obviously, I've never done it before, but I think it's less about making sure a person lives and making sure a person is happy and comfortable and calm and, you know, ready for, you know, whatever's going to be thrown at them. And I think just being very calm and graceful and, but making sure you're communicating, I find a lot of letdowns in medical care and stuff is a lack of communication, but just being like, you know, this isn't going so well. We need to talk about it.
Yeah, because it's not just the patient, isn't it? There's the family and the friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's a lot of communication that needs to that you need to facilitate in that role, I think. Yeah. And Ayushi, you told me you're a sciencey girl and you're interested actually maybe in becoming a surgeon.
Yeah.
And that means a lot of trust is placed in your hands, right?
Yeah.
If you go there. So I mean, what do you think in the field of surgery makes for good care?
I think care, there's two aspects. Obviously, there's the aspect of care in your work. Like, you need to be precise. You're dealing with somebody's life. So you need to be very caring in that way. But also just emotional care. I think what happens is, you know, when you get into the field, you can sometimes be desensitized to the emotions. And you really need to make sure that you're caring for that specific person. Their whole life, you know, will be changed by this. So, yeah, that's really important in the field.
So caring can be a tough gig, right? So I want to hear some more advice from Tim.
I think it's really important for you to know that you've got your own needs, that sometimes caring can be pretty tough, that you can feel a bit isolated, that you feel like there's no one who's there to support you. Know that actually there's lots of carer support programs that are around and that it's okay to ask for help. I think sometimes we get so caught up in caring for others that we forget about our own situation. We've start getting isolated, we start to take on the burdens. And it's really important for us to remember that we can't help other people until really we look after ourselves. It's kind of like first aid, that we have to make sure that we're doing okay before we help others.
And thank you, Associate Professor Tim Moore from the Australian Centre for Child Protection, and he's a former young carer worker. And by the way, if you are a younger carer, Tim says you can get lots more information at youngcarers.net.au, and I'll put up a link to that on the Life Matters page on the RN site. So Tim said you've got to look after yourself as well. So if you're in a situation where you're giving care, then what do you think that self-care would look like, Ellen?
I think it's really important to care for yourself so then you can better care for others. And that self-care might be like having, like setting aside some time to do something you love to do, like a hobby or a sport, and also making sure all other aspects of your life are balanced. And self-care, like as I said, setting aside some time for yourself can also help with that. Might even be something like meditation or something else, so you can just feel more relaxed about your life.
Yeah. What about you, Rafi? What do you think the self-care would look like if you managed to make room for that in a caring situation?
I think, yeah, asking for help, it's something that we struggle to do. I definitely do that. I take on a lot of stuff and then I go, oh, there's too much. Like, what do I do? And there's lots of people, whether you know them or not, if they're someone you can call, a friend, another family member, just people who are willing to do stuff. And if you're sort of like me, where you're a bit of a control freak, delegating tasks is something I struggle with, but it's something that's really, really beneficial. And just going, can you come over Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and can you cook a meal and, you know, wash the sheets? I don't know. It's
to not be afraid to ask for help, right? Yeah. Okay. So when you look back at what you've learned so far at school, let's say, in your education today, what do you think, if anything, has given you suitable preparation to provide care to others?
I think the school environment itself does that, like, subconsciously, you know, every day. You're basically forced into a place with so many different people around you with different upbringings and different prior experiences. And so when you're put in that scenario, you know, you learn to acknowledge their differences and adapt to their experiences. And so that helps you to learn how to care for them because everybody's different.
And what about you, Ellen? Because Aishi talks about like the network of different experiences that go on in a school environment. Is that a good place to learn empathy and sympathy for other people?
I think it is in most ways, especially attending like a public school that's not that well socioeconomically advantaged. You do learn because there's so many people from so many different backgrounds and it gives you just a wide range of learning experiences in caring for others.
Does your school do enough in that area to help encourage the students to actually take on that role of learning empathy and sympathy?
I think we do because we have a really, really strong wellbeing program. Because a lot of students at my school suffer from mental health conditions, et cetera.
And Rafi, how about you? Like, what do you think in your schooling career might have helped you in the role of providing care?
I find, my school as well, there are kids who come from a home that they don't get a lot of support and they can't get a lot of support and are expected to look after people without caring for themselves. So I found that school has taught me to look after people in a way that's quite informal and casual, but where you're going, do you want to come over to my place after school? We can, you know, let's have some food and do some homework, where you can just, someone can get away from their home life. And that type of caring is something that's not super hard to do. You don't need a degree. No. You just need some empathy.
Yeah. So, okay, well, let me put this to you quick fire. We're going to wrap this up now. Are you ready to care for others? Are you, Aishi?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Rafi?
Yep.
Clean sweep. I'm very proud of you. Ellen, Aishi and Rafi, thanks so much for being part of Are You Ready?
Thank you.
Thank you.